right, 2 Peter chapter 3. Last week, I tried to finish this book, but it must have been my plan and not God's plan. Pastor, are you telling me that you sometimes do things that God doesn't want you to do? Just ask my wife. All right? I was hurrying to kind of finish the book, and I skipped some verses. And as I was asking the Lord what he wanted me to preach for this Wednesday night, hoping he would take me a different direction, kind of, he did not let me out of 2 Peter chapter 3. Used multiple things in my life this week to confirm this message. And so I know for sure that he did not want me to skip the truth that is located in the verses that I skip. If you remember, and just quickly, 2 Peter was a letter that Peter wrote to these churches. Most of these churches Paul had started. He wrote this letter out of a protection for them. He knew his life was quickly to be over. He knew the false prophets were coming in chapter number 2. He had prepared them and ground them on the word of God in chapter number 1. And then chapter number 3, he was giving them a hope and an ability to live with peace and enjoyment and looking for the new heavens and the new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. He talked about what manner of people we ought to be, knowing that we know the truth, what our lives ought to look like because of the righteousness that dwells within us. And verse number 14, he said, "Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look," chapter 3, verse 14, "for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless." And so this was in reference to the Christian's behavior, in reference to the Christian's life. And the verses that I skipped would have been half of verse 15, all of verse 16, and verse 17. And so I'd like to go back now and read those verses and give to you the message that I believe God has for us this evening. Verse number 15, "An account that the long suffering of our Lord is," what is that word, class? Salvation. Remember, there was a question in the unsaved person who wanted to live their life their way, live their life according to their lustful position. They kept trying to say that God had promised that he was coming back and he wasn't coming back. And since the creation of man, or since the fathers fell asleep, everything has been the same. And so they basically were trying to attack God's integrity, his character, and his word. And they were doing that willfully. In verse number 5, it told us that for these things they were willfully ignorant of, so that they could justify their position, so they didn't have to humble themselves and submit themselves to the Lord. And I have found that even in today's society, man will still try to do whatever he can to justify his non-submittal to the authority of Jesus Christ. Well, my friend, Jesus Christ is the Lord. Amen. And one day, all of us will stand before him. There will be no justification, and there will be no hiding. There will be no dismissal. We will have to give an account of our lives and what we have done with him, to him, as the judge. So these men were willfully dismissing the integrity or the hand of God. And Peter says, now wait a minute, you're lying through your teeth. And why you're lying through your teeth is you're saying that since God created man, that all things have just gone and that God has had no involvement, but you're forgetting something called the flood. And God did send a flood, and the flood was real. Okay, it's real. And God judged the old earth at that time, and God killed everybody but 8 souls. Now, he made it possible for everybody to be saved, but all they had to do was get on the ark. But everybody said, no. We don't even know what you're talking about rain. We sure aren't getting on some stupid boat in the middle of the desert. And so, forget you. Well, the Bible said that Noah and his family, they understanding the grace of God, marched themselves into the ark. When Noah and his family got into the ark, God took the door of the ark and pulled it up and shut the door. Noah didn't shut the door. God shut the door. Noah couldn't open the door. So here's Noah and his family sitting inside the ark with the door closed and people all about calling him whatever they want to call him, making a foolish and scorning and mocking, thinking, what kind of idiot are you sitting in that hot boat in the middle of the desert? Did you feel that? Did you feel that? What do I feel? They had never had rain. Matter of fact, the Bible says when God created the earth, he moistened the earth by the what? By the dew in the mist. It never fell from the sky. Drop, drop, drop. And then the Bible says that the heavens opened and the fountains of the earth opened. And as hard as it came down, it came up out of the ground. And let me tell you something. They wanted on the ark then. But God had closed that door, and they did not get on the ark. And pretty soon, the screams went silent. And so Peter says, you people are being willfully stubborn and ignorant, and you deny the judgment of God. Now you need to understand something. The way that God destroyed the old world, he's reserved our world against the day of judgment with fire. And that day is coming at the end of the millennium. And Peter says, you better humble yourself. And you're standing here saying that God's, he's not moved, he's not done anything. And you're using that to justify your sin and to justify your non-submission. But he wants the church to understand, don't be fooled by their lies. The long-suffering of God is not because he's not able to destroy. The long-suffering of God is because God wants all men to be saved. So church, the reason God doesn't wipe San Francisco off the map is because God loves San Francisco. The reason he doesn't kill all the whatever group you want to put is because God loves people. And the long-suffering of God is so that those folks can be saved. And by the way, the long-suffering of God in your life was so you could get saved. How loving must God be to allow puny man to stick his finger in the face of God, and yet God just sit there and take all of that, desiring that that man would be saved. We serve a mighty God. Amen. So Peter's adjusting the thinking of the church. And he's trying to get the church to remember these things that they already knew. And he's stirring up their mind so that they will be grounded on the truth, defend the faith, live in hope, and that they would be able to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord. But I skipped verse 15, 16, and 17. And in verse 15, he says, even as our beloved brother, what's his name? Paul. Now, Peter and Paul, they loved each other, but they didn't always get along. They must have been Baptist. Okay? Peter was a little bit two-faced. Peter was a little hypocritical. Peter was one thing when the Jews were around and another thing when the Gentiles were around. And one thing about the Apostle Paul, he didn't give a rip about Peter's social status. Paul cared about one person, that was Jesus. So here's Peter trying to be one thing to the Jews and one thing to the Gentile. And Peter looked at him right in the face and said, you're a hypocrite. What are you doing here, man? And it kind of got under Peter's skin a little bit. Well, Paul got his message across and Peter humbled himself. Now, all of these years later, when Peter's about to be crucified, Peter reminds the churches that Paul started. He's reminding them of what Paul taught them. And he says, now listen, even as our beloved brother Paul, pick up with the reading, even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things, what are those four words? Hard to be understood. Pastor, I have a hard time understanding the Bible. Well, welcome to the rest of us. Okay? Peter says, now Paul wrote some hard things, man, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest or wrestle, as they do also the other scriptures or twist unto their own what? Destruction. So Peter says, now some are taking what Paul wrote, and because it's hard to understand, they're twisting it. And by twisting the word of God, they're really bringing themselves to a position of their own destruction. Verse 17, ye therefore, now the ye is the church, the believer, ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, who taught them before? Who taught them these things? Paul. So Peter says, now you've known these things before. What's the next word? Beware. That word beware means to be on guard. Be on guard lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own what, class? Steadfastness. That word steadfastness is sure-footedness. He's not talking about their salvation. Once you've been saved, you can never be lost. You can never lose the salvation that God is and has for you. But Peter says, now I've grounded you on the word. I've enabled you to defend against the false teachers. I've given you hope that you can live according to. He says, now I've given you a direction to grow in grace, but I want to give you a caution and a warning. And the caution and the warning is you need to guard yourself. You know things. You've been taught. I'm stirring them up. But you better guard yourself and keep these things before you. Therefore, lest you fall under the error of the wicked and you fall from your own steadfastness. So what is Peter wanting them to do? He's trying to secure them so that they're not deceived as well. And he says, listen, you got to guard yourself. Now, I skipped this last week, but God brought me back to it, and God said, listen, Plantation Baptist Church needs to understand they're not perfect. Nor are we trustworthy. You and I are not trustworthy people in and of ourselves. Pastor, that offends me. Well, get in line. There's a long line of people offended. I'm not trustworthy. I'm not above reproach. I'm not at a place where I have attained. If Paul hasn't attained, we haven't attained. Sometimes, as believers, we think more highly of ourselves than we really ought to think. And Peter is saying, now, Tom, do you really think that you're incapable of being deceived? Do you really think that you're incapable of falling for the error of the wicked? Tom, do you think that your footing is so steadfast and sure that you can't lose your footing? Tom, if you think that, you think too highly of yourself. Listen, apart from Jesus Christ, there's nothing good in our lives. And so Peter is teaching the church, be on guard so you're not deceived by the error of the wicked. Now, he had mentioned Paul. Put something here. We may come back here in a minute, but make your way to Ephesians chapter number 4. In Ephesians chapter number 4 and chapter 5, Paul's writing to the church at Ephesus here. And Paul is really writing and doing the same thing that Peter is doing in his epistle and trying to secure the church, trying to ground the church. Matter of fact, Paul has a very aggressive and poignant response here in direction. Look, if you would, at verse number 1 of chapter 4 of Ephesians. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the, what's that word, class? Unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Now, chapter number 4, the book of Ephesians, Paul's writing to the church at Ephesus, and he's wanting them to remain unified. He understands that a unified church is more secure than a divided church. And if the number one thing that the devil wants to do when he wants to attack a church is he wants to divide and compartmentalize a church. Peter understands that false prophets are coming and some are going to be led away. So there was going to be this division. So Peter's trying to anchor everybody in unity on the Word of God. Paul's anchoring everybody in unity on the Spirit of God. Both anchors ought to bring to the church the position of peace. That's what Peter was trying to do. First Peter was an epistle of peace. Second Peter was a protection that would bring about peace. And so Paul now is going to kind of teach us some things about a unified church that will keep us from the error of the wicked. And so if you come down to verse number 11 of chapter 4, Paul tells them that about some gifts that God gave to the church. He gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. So this is why you have a pastor. This is why the church has evangelists. This is why we have these things. Verse 13, till we all come in the, what's that word? Unity of the faith, of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect or complete or mature man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. All right? So that's the gifts that God gave to the church so that the pastor and the teacher and the evangelist for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry to bring about unity. Now look at verse 14. That we, that's you and me, henceforth be no more what? Children. Tossed to and fro. And carried about with every wind of what? Doctrine. So Peter said, now listen, you better guard and beware that you don't fall to the error of the wicked and you fall from your own steadfastness. What was the error of that wicked? It was false teachers and false doctrine. Paul says, now listen, a church ought to be growing and maturing, and Jesus gave the church gifts, and we're not to be carried about with every wind or doctrine like little children. Come back to verse 14 of Ephesians chapter 4. He said, carried about with the wind of every doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. These are false prophets that will infiltrate the church, and they will bring about these things slightly and deceivingly and cunningly and designed to draw and divide the church. Verse 15, but speaking the truth in love may, what's that word? Grow. Now, that word grow is the same word, 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. Peter said, that you may grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul said that ye may grow into Christ. So Peter and Paul, in their dying words, tell the church that we have the responsibility to grow. If you agree with that, say amen. All right? Now he says, now you better beware and grow or you're gonna suffer. Now Paul says that we may grow up, verse 15, into him, that him is Christ, in all things which is the head, even Christ. So we are to grow in, Peter said, in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus. Paul says to grow in Christ. Why do we grow in Christ? Verse 16, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Because God will do a work in the entire body. Verse 17. This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord. Now, here's what Paul's going to do. Paul's going to take verse 17 all the way to chapter 5, verse number 18. And he's going to give instructions to a church that would represent evidences of a growing life. And I think there's some application for our church here. So in verse 17, Paul says, "This I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their" what class? Their mind. So Paul first says, listen, when you get saved, when you got saved, your life shouldn't look like the unsaved. Even your thought process ought not to be the same as the unsaved. That word Gentile there is what is dealing with the unsaved. In the vanity of their mind. A person who is on guard and growing in the Lord will understand that they cannot trust their own mind. Help me. Lean not unto thine own understanding, but in all thy ways acknowledge him. So, you want to be unguarded. You want to do something you never dreamed you would do. Let your own understanding be your guide. The most dangerous position you can be as a believer and let your guard down is when you just blatantly follow your own understanding. Your own understanding, the Bible said about our imagination, is what continually? It's wicked. It's evil. So as a believer, I know, as Tom Hunter, I cannot trust my fleshly mind. And if I walk after my fleshly mind, I'm in big trouble. So I guard myself. Now, how do I guard myself? I don't have my mind. I have the mind of Christ. Amen? Okay? So now he goes on. Having, verse 18, the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God, through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. He's describing an unsaved position here, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. He said these are the motivations of an unsaved person. These are what we were before we were saved. Look at verse number 20. But ye have not so learned who? Christ. Verse 21, if so be that you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your what? So Paul says, now listen. Man, you've been saved. Your life has been transformed. Why would you walk anymore in the way of an understanding of an alienation with God? Why would you let that sinful nature drive you? That's not the Christ you learned. That's not the Christ who saved you. Now, the Christ who saved you, he's the Christ of truth. He's the Christ of truth. So Peter, we have a more sure word of prophecy. Ground yourself on the truth. Paul, you have truth. It's the person of Christ. Don't think that if you don't stand on the truth, that you're incapable of following the error of the wicked. The way you guard yourself is by anchoring yourself on the person of Christ, anchoring yourself on the word of Christ, and letting that renew your mind. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Okay, verse number 24. And that ye put on the, what are those two words? New man. So how many in here have been made a new man? Even if you're a woman, you've been made a new man or woman in Christ. Okay, all right, but still, every day you must put on the nature of that new man. What does that mean? Does that mean I got to be saved every day? No. Does that mean and somehow I'm no longer loved by God? No. That just means your default button in your life is your flesh. So, believe it or not, Mrs. So-and-so, you don't wake up as beautiful as your husband tells you you do. Okay? I don't just wake up and go about my day filled with the Spirit of God or right with God. I got to wake up and understand that I must put on this new man. I must be filled with the Spirit of God. I've got to submit my mind to the authority of the Word of God. And I've got to follow as I am led by the Spirit of God. He says, now put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. That's the only way you'll ever know those two things. And then he says, now wherefore, in verse 25, putting away, come on, lying. Speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be ye angry and do what? Sin not. So now here's Peter. You got to understand they're linked. Don't miss the link. Peter says, who do you think you are, man? You better beware, Tom. You're absolutely as capable as going after the heir of the wicked. You think you've attained? You haven't attained. You better grow in grace, the knowledge of the Lord. Paul says, who do you think you are, Tom? Don't you think you better be filled with the Spirit of God? Don't you think you better have the nature of Christ on you? Don't you understand? And then once those things happen, and I'm submitted to that, then the nature of Christ begins to work not only in me, but it works through me. And it ought to work through His church. Amen? Okay. So, both of these men are trying to secure the church after their demise. And I would submit to you that the church needs secured today. There's no room for lying in a church. There's no room for anger. You can be angry at something, but the admonition is, be angry, but don't sin. Now, we've had a problem with this in our church. I thought we were stronger than what we are, or more mature than what we are, but we're not. So here's what's happening. Somebody gets angry at Malcolm. Instead of getting right with Malcolm, they just leave. We've had that happen. 4, 5, 6, 7. They just get angry because somebody sat in their seat. That happened. Because somebody said something to them. Somebody didn't look at them right. And so I'm angry and I'm offended. So either I'm going to talk bad about you or I'm just going to leave. My friends, that's not biblically right. Amen? That shows weakness on our part. No wonder the Church of Christ has no effect in the world today. Because we're so insecure because we're not on the Word of God or the person of God. So now every bit of our action is off of our mind. So I'll just lie to get myself out of trouble. I'll lie to make somebody look bad. Or I'll just leave and be angry. And the Bible says, don't let the sun go down upon your wrath. So if you have a problem with another Christian and you go to bed without that problem being right, you've transgressed. But see, now we just walk away. We can go down the church down the street and join the church. And I'll tell you one thing. This is true. Me, Tom Hunter, I have been such a weak pastor that I can hardly take it. Because I've let this happen in our church. I have let people that have done wrong at other churches just kind of slide into our church. And because I didn't confront their wrongness and just receive them, how would they ever be corrected? How would they ever face themselves? And so now, just because you can go to any other church and join and escape the problems, we got people going everywhere, but nobody's right. And we're weak. And I'm as guilty as anybody else. So Paul says, man, if we're strong, we don't let the sun go down upon our wrath. Verse 27, we don't give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the things which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. Listen, I don't know about you, but I don't want to grieve the Spirit of God. If that's you, say amen. Whereby you're sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking be put away from you. Verse 32, and be ye, read it out loud please, kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Chapter 5, verse number 1. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. Walk in love. As Christ also hath loved us and given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling. But fornication and uncleanness and covetousness, let it not be named among you as become a saint. Neither filthiness or foolish talking or jesting, which are not convenient, but give thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. If that's you, say amen. So the response is, walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. Reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things are reproved, are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doeth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time. The days are evil. Wherefore be not unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Verse 18, read it out loud with me. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Peter and Paul are both trying to secure the church of Jesus Christ, and they're trying to secure the church of Jesus Christ on the person of God, on the Word of God, and they're encouraging the church to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, we have an enemy, but we are not each other's enemy. There is an enemy to fight, and that's the devil himself. But people need to be saved. Brethren need to be loved. Fellowship needs to happen. Service needs to take place. And all of these things is really and truthfully what our time needs. The world does not need a Democrat or a Republican. We don't need Donald Trump or Hillary Clinton. We don't even need... You put her name there, or their name there. The world needs Jesus Christ. And the world doesn't need for the Republicans to be in charge of the Senate, or the Democrats here, or this or that. The world doesn't need that. What the world needs is a church set on fire by the Holy Ghost. And last I checked, we're the church. So we need to be set on fire. So we need to understand something. Beware. Be on guard. Watch my mind, my life, that I don't lose a steadfast footing and I fall into the air of the wicked. Amen? All right, let's have our prayer.